Welcome to the Cabin Cast, your getaway primer.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, Kristen.
It's finally here.
Summer.
We have been waiting and we are due because It has been a cold, it's been a weird month of May for weather around us.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, when there's frost during the day, my kids were so excited for shorts. I think my 2-year-old probably said, "Hey, Dad, when it's summer, I can wear shorts," right? 100 times.
Yeah.
And then May came along and got to wear shorts for maybe a week when it was nice. And then it got cold again where the kids were wearing rain jackets and sweatpants and sweatshirts and they were not a happy crew.
My boat bag is always so stuffed full because you need the raincoats and the sweatshirts. And in Wisconsin, you need it all for a whole day.
For a day. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think there was a time in April where we went back to sending snowsuits back to school, which is, you know, just normal Wisconsin.
Yeah.
School in Wisconsin.
Well, and today I think we were finally in the 80s, but yesterday was cold. And my kids, though, there's something about Northwoods kids. They don't really care. They'll jump in the water anyways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My kids went swimming this weekend and for a couple hours and they were exhausted crew at the end of the day, but they could not have been happier.
They just don't care how cold it is. I'm not getting in, but they love it. My son jumped in last night. He's 18 and a fishing boat went by him and he said they were saying, "Do you know how cold it is?" And he's like, he didn't care. He was ready to jump in.
I wasn't there. I was working this weekend at Roughing It. And I guess my sister-in-law, she and her husband live right across the street from his parents, so her in-laws. And they have a really beautiful lawn that leads to just a nice shallow swimming area on a lake in Eagle River. And the neighbor's dogs, like all the neighborhood dogs, I guess there were like 4 dogs running around. And you know how there's dogs that just will not let you do anything unless you are playing fetch with them. Like they just keep dropping sticks. They find sticks and drop them at your feet.
Yes. Or my dogs
1,000 times.
Pause me all the time. Like, "Hello, I'm right here. Talk to me."
Yeah. So Liv, my 6-year-old, was throwing it and having fun. But after 15, 20 minutes, like, how do you get rid of a stick when a dog keeps bringing it back? You can't throw it far enough that they won't get it. So she just got so frustrated. She took the stick and chucked it behind her head and whacked my wife in the shin wasn't trying to, wasn't even looking, but was just like so frustrated at this dog. Like, "Stop bringing me the stick back." But she's 6. So it's like, what's she going to dig a hole and put the stick in the hole? Right. What do you do? Cause they'll just go get another one. Yeah. But, they were having fun and it was, they were out on kayaks and they couldn't have been happier. They were half asleep when I saw them after work. Yeah. Just like, I think my 4-year-old Lachlan fell asleep in the car at 4:30 and slept until maybe 7:30 the next day. He was having
fun. I remember
fun.
That as a kid myself, how tired you would be after being in the water. And the dog thing makes me think though. So we have a Great Pyrenees and a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Oh, wow.
And as much as we want them to chase a stick, they will not do it.
Really?
We could throw all day long and they just sit there and look at us like, really?
What are you doing?
Yeah. You want me to do what?
Why would I bring this back?
They do not fetch.
Yeah, it's interesting how dogs have just different skill sets that are just natural into their, the breed that they are.
Mm-hmm. And ours just want to sit and they're herding dogs. So they just want to sit and kind of make sure where all their people are and that we're all happy. They like to just sit by us all the time. So they're happy and playful. They just do not fetch.
Yeah. And that is what summer is so about, is like how we interact with water is just so much fun. We still haven't got our dock out yet. I was just talking to the crew, my guys that helped me with that. And we're trying to figure that out and plan it. And then my in-laws, their dock has last year when they put the dock in, it's a pretty good sized dock and it might have encroached on the property line slightly for the neighbor. So they got like a stern, not a letter, but a stern talking to, like, "Hey, your dock's hanging over our property line." They're like, "Well, it isn't really, but you got to like run a line off as deep as some of these docks have to go." So this year they just almost overcorrected. So the dock looks a little, crooked the other way. And it's just funny how it's not politics, but just lake intrigue, I guess I should say.
Well, and our surf boat, because we have a vintage ski boat, And that's in the lift. We've taken that out on cruises, but our surf boat can't go in yet because the water levels are still pretty low, actually.
Oh, sure, sure.
So like you're talking about, they had to move their dock so it's deep enough. And that's what we get into, too.
Yeah.
So that boat isn't even in yet until the water gets a little deeper.
Yeah, it's interesting. My lake is they call it a seepage lake, which I guess water seeps in and out of it, depending on the general water level. And the owner before, I just asked him, like, oh, what size dock did you have? He's like, actually, we had a 160-foot boardwalk at one point when the water was down that just to get out to the deep enough area because we're in the shallow end. But right now the water is 4.5 feet up on my lake from, you know, general levels. And hopefully it stays that way because it's amazing. It's like right up to our property line and to the little cabin we have. But it, I don't know, it's just interesting how water dictates so much,
right?
What kind of lake you're on. My parents, they're on a flowage that is regulated by, I think it's a power company. And then every year the lake just drops precipitously because they have some sort of whitewater kayaking thing in Wausau. So they just dump out the lake for a weekend of kayaking. And then
it
would be cool to see, but these homeowners, they pay. And luckily the water level's just been so high and there's been, I guess not luckily for my parents, not so luckily for down south, but there's been so much flooding down in southern Wisconsin from the Wisconsin River that they try to hold as much water up north as they can to give the farmers a break and the people that live close to the river's edge a break.
It makes me think of our episode with Ted Rosay and, you know, just how much goes into what we don't even think about to go out and enjoy the lake.
Right.
You know, for how the water fills up and gets there or leaves those water levels, what's happening underneath the water. It's fascinating.
Yeah. It's like a flip. You like flip the globe and there's an entire world underneath that's like separated by a thin, like air where air and water meet. And then you just get underneath. It's an entire different, it's like almost an alien ecosystem.
Right. And I have never paddled around like Ted said he does with his, you know, snorkel on.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I don't think I want to know what's under there.
We never went through the certification, but we got pre-certified for scuba diving up here. So there was a scuba shop. For a while. So we took lessons at a scuba shop and went. And it's interesting. You know, the lakes here, even the clear lakes are, if the water's been stirred up or it was a windy day, it gets a little mucky and cloudy, which makes it a little claustrophobic, right? You're scuba diving and you can only see out to your hand in front of you.
Yeah.
But some of the really clear lakes, and they usually name them something like Crystal Lake or Clear Lake, are fun. But then those lakes are historically, if the more clear they are, the more boring they are.
True.
But it is, it's just a different world.
What did you find? Mostly golf balls?
Yeah, really nothing. Just like seaweed or, you know, weeds down there and then, you know, rocks. And then when we used it, I think it was on our honeymoon, we went scuba diving with one of those cool boats and the whole crew is what we were training for. And that was amazing because they drop you off, you know, way and then you flow with the current. You barely have to kick. And that's the bright coral and the tropical fish. And I mean, that's what it is all about. That's really cool. But, you know, scuba diving up here, I know there are people that were even at that scuba shop that they would go do these shipwreck dives in Lake Superior where you had to have deep dive. You had to have extra certifications. You had to know, I mean, they're swimming into these shipwrecks and then you have to worry about, is your hose going to get hooked on something? And it gets a little dicey, but that sounds
I'm
amazing.
I'm not brave enough. I'll just go to the museum and look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You get this almost the same experience. You stay dry. It's a lot safer at most museums usually. So.
Yeah. No, I'm not brave enough. What are some of the other things your kids love to do in the summer?
So we got them little kayaks, these little teeny, they look like the open ocean kayaks, right? So they had a blast paddling those around. Right now, because the water level is so high, part of our frontage is underwater. So you can actually kayak through the trees in this little area of our property, which is really fun. So my nephews and my kids had a good time doing that. And it was funny, I got them off Facebook Marketplace, which is a great place to pick up, you know, used equipment or lightly used equipment. And the guy looks at me real serious when I was picking up. He goes, "Now you make sure your kids wear life vests." When they're, I'm like, "Oh, thank you, sir."
Right.
It's like, that is great. That is great information. You know, and I was going to tell him we're more of a sink or swim type of family, but
he wouldn't have caught the humor. Yeah, I don't think. Just
like, never mind.
Right.
People are pretty picky about that, but I'm sure he meant well. But
everybody up here is, you know, little kids, they take their life jackets everywhere because most all their friends are on water too.
Yep. Yeah.
So they just take it along.
Yeah. There's a different level of, and it's an anxiety when you live close to the water. Our last home was right on a channel and it was 8 foot off, right off the, and then the frontage was up about 5 or 6 feet. So if you're one of the little kids was running around at night and they misjudge where the lawn is, they could take a tumble right into 8 foot of water. So that was, I'm actually super happy with where we're at now. It's really shallow and it's actually quite a ways away from our house. So there's less anxiety that way. But you know, when friends come over, it's, if, right. if you are outside, you're wearing a life jacket a lot yep. of the time. That's the rule at my in-laws. If you go down by the lake, it doesn't matter if you say you're not swimming, you wear a life jacket. So that, I mean, it's just a safety thing.
Right. I know it's a different experience when you have little kids around than when they get bigger
yeah.
or if you're just with grownups. But one of my kids' favorite things for years have been the hammocks.
Oh,
they
yeah.
just fit in the little bags.
Yep.
They take them everywhere they go, from my youngest kids all the way to my college kid. And they'll just have almost like this whole park full of their hammocks, and they will go out and read in them and they'll sleep in them. I mean,
on your property, they put them up all over.
They love it.
Cool.
And it's great because they can put them up on their by themselves. That's my favorite part.
Yep.
I mean, how many things do our kids make us? We can't even do it. My husband's biggest joke, he tells, well, it's not a joke, he means it, but like when we go out to eat, he's told restaurants, so if anybody wants an idea to make more money at the restaurant, he always says, charge a cutting fee.
Oh yeah.
If you cut my kids' food before it comes to the table, I will pay you for that. Cause he's like, I'm done cutting food.
Oh, for sure.
So, the hammocks are so amazing cause they can just go out, put them up themselves
yeah.
and then they'll stack them. So they're almost like they're in bunk beds.
No kidding.
It looks amazing out in the trees. So
oh, that's really fun.
If people are coming to get away, that is definitely something that I would surprise my kids with,
oh,
is
grab one
having
of those
a
fun
hammock.
Hammocks. That's a great idea.
Yeah, because it just makes a really special way for them to hang out in nature.
Yeah, we put one of those, it's like a woven hammock, or it has the rope yep. hammock on the point at my parents' cabin. And we do the thing where they wrap all the kids up, yeah. and they're at that age, and you can yeah. spin them around,
right?
And they're just
little sausages.
For yeah, they just absolutely love doing that.
So yeah,
that is fun.
Yeah, mine do a little bit of hammock wars, they call it, where they're trying to get each other out of the hammocks,
and then just hold on for dear life.
Uh huh. Yeah, but it's neat.
Fun. Yeah. Well, I know one of the things is just for our listeners to get to know us a little bit better. I know there's been a bunch of new listeners added, and that's super exciting. Thank you for joining us as we roll into summer here. We got a ton of great guests lined up. We were just talking about that before the show. So we have log home builders, musicians, people that have run and written books about camps, all kinds of amazing guests lined up for the summer. So stick with us, and it's going to be fun. And hopefully, you know, for you new listeners out there, thanks for joining us, like I said. And you know, we'd love it if we became your kind of go-to tradition for when you hop in the car or get close to the Northwoods or wherever your getaway is around the country. It's a lot of fun, and trying to get you there a little bit closer. But we have a summer Q&A. So Chris and I are going to do kind of a rapid fire back and forth. We each wrote down some questions beforehand and let you guys know a little bit about us. And we doesn't have to be super fast on the answers. We can expand a little bit, but thought it would be a fun way. And you want to start it off, Kristen?
Sure. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset. I usually don't go. I mean, the mornings are beautiful up here. It's gorgeous. The sunrise is amazing. I know my mom goes out and reads and watches the sun come up usually, but I'm up for the sunset most of the time with the kids, but I'm getting breakfast ready. So it's tough to get them bundled up. So I'm a sunset. I really enjoy.
Yeah. So we're the same. We're sunset people. I dream about being like your mom, like getting out there to have my coffee and watch the sunrise. But I like to linger in bed in the mornings yeah. instead. But one of my favorite things is usually my daughter loves to jump on her paddleboard at sunset.
Oh yeah.
And then I go down on the dock, and I need to join her more than just watch her, but she paddles out and kind of chases the sunset, and it's just so beautiful and peaceful. So yeah, we love the sunset at my house.
All right. So tube ski or wakeboard?
Watch.
You like to watch? None of the above?
I'll tube like once a summer just for everyone's enjoyment to watch me scream.
Okay.
And I'll ski maybe once a year, But I more like, if all the kids want to keep doing it, then I have fun watching them. But how about you?
I like to wakeboard. It's a ton of fun. I didn't do a ton of skateboarding, or actually I'm a terrible snowboarder. I'm more like, I used to ski growing up quite a bit more. So wakeboarding feels a little unnatural. I keep wanting to pull my feet apart, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
I did hurt my knee kind of bad when there was a, like, if you wakeboard, just make sure the person who's driving the boat has pulled a wakeboarder before, because it's a different sort of acceleration.
And it's tubing. It's hard on your body.
Yeah.
It really is.
You're sore afterwards from squatting down. But what happened is the driver of the boat that I was wakeboarding behind gunned it to pull me up out of the water. I started to rise up. Then they slowed back down. So I sunk back down and then they gunned it again. So just as you're rising out, so my feet were trapped under it, it kind of twisted you. So you have to be careful. But it, once you get up and it's, I mean, the tricks you can do, not that I'm big into tricks. I'm more into like surviving and not getting, but it is a ton of fun. I do like to wakeboard.
Yeah. My kids are surfers first and foremost. Sure. That's their favorite, is surfing. And I love that because the boat's slow and they're right behind us and they have a lot of fun. My husband does that too. I do a lot of boat driving for everybody else doing all their things too. And with tubing, the kids love tubing.
Yep.
And my husband finally had to be like, you will ski or surf or something else before we do more tubing because that's, you know, you all get, they want to, you're about to really get into that phase. Yeah,
we're in tubing phase big time.
Yeah.
And it's funny, all my in-laws, they have a marina in Eagle River called Boat Sport Marina, and they're busy, but they all grew up driving boats and speed boats and, you know, all kinds of fancy boats. And I was a like slow 35 mile per hour or 35 horsepower pontoon kid. Yeah. Right. So like my parents could pull us on a kneeboard growing up. And that was about it. Once we got too big, the kneeboard would sink.
Right.
But it's fun watching my in-laws. They're so good at driving boats. They're amazing. Like they're so comfortable. And it's weird because I think of myself as a fairly competent person.
Yeah.
But there's just something different about being comfortable, like super comfortable driving boats than it is driving other kinds of vehicles. And then you like there's no like the rules. People just don't follow rules out in the water. So there's this level of 360 degrees of awareness that you have to have. Which way is that boat going? Do they have someone they're pulling? Did someone just fall off a water ski that's waving their hand that you got to keep an eye on? So having that spotter is a big deal.
To watch for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And my friends that have grown up on lakes, to watch them pull into a dock and like leave the dock is an art form.
Yep.
It's amazing. You know, where we have to sometimes go back and forth a couple times depending on how the wind's going.
Yeah.
These kids that have grown up, you know, they're driving boats at 14 and then they're 13, 14 and they can do it great by the time they're a dad. Yeah,
they can parallel park boats, right? It's like you take your whole life to learn how to parallel park.
And I would just keep going around and around until there's open.
And if there's wind, you got to maybe sleep out in your boat because it's too windy to get into the dock. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so it's something I keep trying to work on is getting better at boating. But when there's so many drivers, it's like, well, I guess I didn't drive today. So it's like hard to get practice in. So, okay. Right. So do you like fancy types of s'mores or more traditional?
Well, I don't know if it'd be considered fancy, but I like them with cookies, like a chocolate chip cookie. They taste good to have the Hershey bar and the graham crackers, but they're such a mess and crumbly everything. So I like just simply putting it between chocolate chip cookies.
So dressed up a little bit.
Dressed up a little bit. And I like them golden, where they're just melty.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But not burned.
Not burnt.
How about you?
I like a traditional s'more is good. I like your cookie idea. It is a lot cleaner where you just it's one marshmallow. Yeah, that's a great idea. And kids would love that. We may have to try that. So I don't know if that doesn't sound fancy. We have a s'more company that has made some fancy s'mores that are really amazing. They use like gourmet chocolate and different flavors, caramel and peppermint and all these different things. They're good. But we, you know, that's almost something they use like a blowtorch and create almost like a restaurant would bring out, where with kids, it's all about speed. So, you know, traditional, but that cookie idea sounds great. We'll have to try that.
And we'll make a cookie bar too. It's like so easy to, I take like a vintage soda crate and then I fill it with like napkins. So if it's 4th of July, maybe they're red, white, and blue. And then I put in each of the little holes different kinds of cookies. So it might be M&M cookies or chocolate chip or fudge stripe, whatever kind people like. And then they just grab them out and put them around their marshmallow.
Oh, see, that's awesome. See, we got the quick good and summer ideas. We will try that.
And it's easy, too.
Yeah,
but it feels special.
Yeah, you could probably even make a cookie out of graham. If you still miss that graham cracker flavor, do like chocolate graham cracker crumble cookies or something.
For sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Brat or burger?
Ooh.
Good Wisconsin question.
Yeah, I like brats. Nothing beats a great... If the burger's cooked well, right? If it's, you know, that medium rare, pink... I just like it's basically like the way my dad cooks burgers is like, I cannot beat them in my mind. I just think of a big, delicious, amazing burger with all the fixings.
Yeah. We're burger people too. I mean, I like a brat and especially cooked out over, you know, the grill or the fire, but a big burger and with all the, you know, onions too over the grill and all the fixings on it.
Yeah. And that's a great activity, right? You hang out around the grill, you're cooking these amazing burgers and then having the whole spread. It's beautiful. You got onions and tomatoes and the relishes. So it is a really nice way to create a simple, but fantastic like spread for people to pick through. And then we have a lot of vegetarians in and out of our lives at times too, with whether it's been team members here at our store that we've cooked for or just friends, right? They bring their kids over and they mention they're vegetarian. So I like, and this is amazing too. I cook portobello tops and treat them just like burgers. Yeah. And those portobello mushrooms, the big ones you find at the grocery store, like the full top, you cook them just like a burger, are amazing too.
And it's a great thing to keep in mind because I think people that do have, you know, are vegetarians would appreciate that so much. And there's plenty of people that aren't vegetarians that would love that too.
Yeah.
What a great summer meal.
Yeah. It's lighter and it's actually really filling too. So. Mm-hmm. All right. Favorite type of summer ice cream?
Exhausted Parent is what it's called.
This is a type of ice cream?
Yeah. Well, it's not a brand. It's a flavor of an ice cream.
How much alcohol does it have in it?
It's bourbon flavored ice cream.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's bourbon flavored. So I love like coffee flavor, like if it's cappuccino, chunky chocolate flavors or... that bourbon flavored one. I get it at a place locally called What's the Scoop.
Oh yeah, that's a great place. So
yeah, that's one of the biggest things we'll hear at our house after dinner. All of a sudden somebody around the table will go, "What's a scoop?" And then everybody goes, "Yes," and we all run to get some.
So. There's a place that's like renowned for ice cream down in Tomahawk called the Windmill. Have you heard of this?
I've been there. Yep.
Oh, we can get there by boat, right? From my parents' cabin, and the kids are like, they don't even care what's for dinner. They just like windmill. And the word keeps spreading. The lines keep getting longer and longer. I don't even know how these people make money. I mean, I'm sure the price have gone up now with everything, like everything else, but they must like buy their ice cream in so much bulk. And they still, it felt like it was like a dollar for a giant ice cream cone for years and years and years. It's a little bit more now, but they have these like amazing high school kids behind the counter that work super hard and their forearms look like Popeye.
because they're scooping so much darn ice cream.
And they're so nice, and it is such a hit around town that it's and people, I think, discover Wisconsin, which they have a cool podcast called The Cabin, too. And they did What's Your Favorite Ice Cream Place? And I just scrolled down because I'm like, well, I'm not going to say the Windmill. Somebody's going to say the Windmill. And like five or six rows, you know, comments down was like the Windmill, and like 50 people liked it. And people were like, I was going to say that. So. That place is cool. That's a Windmill in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. It's just amazing. And I like mint chocolate chip as my ice cream.
That is a good one. That is a good kind.
That's a classic.
Yeah, like I think it was 4 years ago maybe now, we went to a different ice cream place, the kids and I, every week to try them all out. So we went to like Kathy's in St. Germain and, well, Hoggy Doggies. We did a few more than once a week, but Hoggy Doggies over in Woodruff. And so there's so many places that are really fun around this area. And I know most getaway communities have great ice cream shops. It's like one of the things people look forward to in the summers, going to get ice cream.
It is fun. It's a good tradition, and it definitely brings the family together. Nobody's ever like, oh, ice cream, that sounds like a horrible dinner.
Right?
It's like, yeah, I can do ice cream. That sounds good.
Sure. And like you said, we could skip dinner for ice cream.
Yeah, for sure.
How about a camper or a tent?
Oh, man. You know what? It has been years. Let's see. I love camping in tents. My back after you know, 20 years of carrying furniture isn't quite as much tent ready anymore. So the like upside of campers and having a little better sleeping space is really nice. I haven't been in one for a really long time. My folks once took a road trip from Northern Illinois down to Disney World when we were little. That was kind of our trip, and we rented a motorhome and saw some family on the whole way down. So I have really fond memories of like motorhome camper. Yeah. But yeah, so I'd have to say a little bit of both, but not much of either, really.
My kids have a dream of, you know, doing that camper across the country.
Yeah.
They would love to do that sometime, but we never have. And we've always been tent people.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember when Brian and I were first married and we would go camping on the weekends together. And, you know, we had no money back then. And our tent showed we had no money. I mean, we could barely fit just the two of us in there. And if one of us would move over, then the dew would fall on us, you know. And it was, we laugh so hard now. But now we're kind of like you, though. We have to take air mattresses now in the tent.
Yeah.
But luckily, most of them will blow up in your car.
Yep.
And it makes it kind of easy.
Well, you're doing a little more of the camper life with White Arrows Home, though, too. Don't you have like a vintage one?
I just got a vintage camper last year that I can't wait to get even more fixed up this year. It comes out of storage next week, so that's going to be really fun.
Oh, fun. Now, yeah. I just had a birthday, and my wife put a picture of a Airstream and just wrote like someday question mark on it. Because, man, those things are so cool.
Aren't they beautiful?
And I actually follow on Reddit, which is, I don't know if folks out there know what Reddit is. It's like a forum for pretty much anything. I follow an Airstream fixer-upper forum. And, man, you have to be like a plumber, an electrician, and a contractor and construction worker to take this aluminum tube,
right,
and revamp it. But that's where the best deals are because, I mean, Airstreams are gorgeous. Yes. They're no joke there.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs about as much as a home to get a big Airstream.
It's amazing how much they look like a home by the time people are done with them.
Yeah.
I mean, so comfortable and you could live in it. So I love that. That's great dreams to have. I know we want to have a Chris Craft too. You know, when I always say when I turn 50, I want one of those to go cruising with my cocktail.
Absolutely. And that's so classic. So,
yeah.
Cool. All right. Pontoon fishing boat or ski boat?
Well, we don't have a pontoon, but my ski boat is one of my favorite things we have.
Yeah.
It's that little Stars and Stripes vintage 92 ski boat. And I love that thing. It is so easy to go around in and cruise. You know, that's our cocktail cruise. That's pull the kids skiing. Mm-hmm. I can get it in and out of the lift easily on my own. So I love that little boat. So I'd have to say ski boat.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned before I grew up on pontoons, so I absolutely love them. My mother-in-law and father-in-law had the favorite boat I've ever been in. They had a Four Winds years ago, maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago. It was a deck boat, but it felt like it had as much room, as much seating as a pontoon. And it was just fast, amazing. You could pull people on it, super comfortable places to sleep. I don't know. In my mind, it was huge, but it was like the coolest deck boat ever. Just so much space. And it had this little switch on it that if you flipped it, the engine would rumble like a Harley. So you'd be like, you'd be going through a channel and these people would be going by and like these guys would be like looking at your boat, you know, bachelor party going by chair and you'd flip on the rumble and the guys would just go wild. Like, oh man, that's awesome.
Hilarious. So, is that like something you automatically would get or you had to add it on?
I'm sure it was an upgrade. I don't even know what the purpose was, except it just sounded like not like a loud Harley like flying by your house, but like when a Harley is backing up right out of some sort of roadhouse and it just kind of like rumbles, has that real deep low rumble. You'd flip that on and it would turn heads. That was super fun. So pontoon boat usually, but man, if that's like my, you know, back to the future dream boat type of thing someday, I'll get a cool deck boat.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
My kids make that noise. Like they have a motorcycle, they smush up a water bottle and they stick it in the wheels of their bikes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And as it goes around it sounds like they have an engine on it and all they've done is stomp on a water bottle and stick it in there.
Yeah. We were baseball cards in the spokes type of thing would be fun to do. My dad still tells stories about when, I think this was back in the probably mid-90s when baseball cards were hot. I know cards are pretty hot again in the market, but
you can't even get them anymore. Cause my sons have been into them for years and you can't get, they sell so fast.
Yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, I'd have my Mickey Mantle cards just flapping around bike. And now they're like selling for $100,000 or crazy. But that's why they're so rare because people use them for bike spokes and
You know, that was really important to have your bike sound right.
Yeah, for sure. It's important.
The Great Pyramid of Giza, Colossus of Rhodes, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and Roughing It in Style. All of these equal in history and magnitude, but only one you can visit now. You see, Roughing It in Style may not be ancient, but it's the only wonder that will bring wonder to your world. Roughing It in Style is your source for interior design, furniture, reclaimed cabinets, and decor. They have two stores, one out west in Fort Collins, Colorado, and one up north in Harshaw, Wisconsin, 10 miles south of Minocqua. Plan your visit today and find out more at roughingitinstyle.com.
What was that?
The pyramid's still around? Why didn't anyone tell me? Roughing It in Style. A much better place for your furnishing needs than the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Well, and you brought a cool reading, I think.
Yeah. So this is a reading. We talk about getaways and people having houses, and it's kind of fun. We just talked about camping for a minute with the tents. But this is called How We Solved Our Vacation Problem by Will H. Spence. So this is from the... Get my paper out here. So this is from Recreation Magazine. I've read from these before. This is from March of 1910. So we talk about how fun the writing is, how much more time.
That cover
is
gorgeous.
The cover has this amazing guy wearing buffalo plaid standing on a log. So we'll have to take a picture of this and share it on our Instagram page. So this is called How We Solve Our Vacation Problem. And I'll just read a couple quick paragraphs from it because it's really interesting how these people have some of the problems they have are solved now. And some of the problems are the same things that families probably are talking about right now or talk about all spring or winter when they're trying to plan their vacations. For some years, we had felt dissatisfied with our vacations. To be sure, we had fine times and many pleasant memories cluster around scenes on the Great Lakes, the White Mountains, Nova Scotia, and elsewhere. But with all the enjoyment, there was the excessive cost of board for a family of four, the uncertainty of the quality of aforesaid board, with the attendant grumbling about it between meals, and the fellow summer boarder who was not always congenial. After each season, there came the evening councils by the study lamp to determine what should be done next. We needed rest and quiet above all, and it must be secured in a place sufficiently removed from our metropolitan home to prevent being summoned back needlessly. We did not want an elaborate cottage. We did not want to go to a summer hotel. We did not want to expend our whole month's salary on vacating. What should we do? About that time, the family debate was waging. I chanced to ask a friend how he solved his vacation problem, and he gave the laconic answer, camping. That word started a whole train of remembered dreams and opened visions of enticing possibilities. For since I had been a boy, I had hoped to spend some time each year as a camper, but circumstances had always prevented this. Once in a while, I had tentatively and timidly cast the suggestion across the table to the head bent over the evening needlework, only to receive a prompt and curt negative response. Bugs, cold weather, damp nights, nasty, rainy days under a cloth roof, inconveniences for cooking, and all sorts of terrible feminine horrors were set forth as sufficient reason for putting the suggestion out of court. While talking with my friend, I told him of the divided state of the family mind on the question, and he assured me that such was the case at his home until, by dint of much persuasion, he had induced his wife to try it for one season. They, with the children, had found increasing enjoyment each year. Their health had vastly improved, and they saved money besides. Well, the upshot was a deep-laid conspiracy between us to persuade Milady to try the plan, the stipulation being that if the conspiracy worked, I should owe him dinner. It did work, and I have dined him in approved fashion.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so just, you know, his wife's like, well, we're not going camping. And his friend's like, this is the thing.
It'll make you healthier.
It will make you, you and your family will be healthier every year if you go camping.
But, you know, thinking back on all of our own experiences camping and listening to all our friends, what do they laugh and talk about the most? The bugs, the storms, the things that go wrong actually make the memories.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were out boating on the Michigami Reservoir up in Michigan when I was a kid. And we're out on a pontoon. And one of those, this is before cell phones. So like then you'd go out and be like, it looks nice out. You'd watch the morning news right on your little tube TV. And they'd be like, weather, 10% chance of rain. Well, we're out and about, and we were probably an hour away from back, you know, back at the resort, and a flash thunderstorm blew up to the point where it's like, we cannot be out in the water. So we had to like set the boat, put it on a beach. We went running into the woods because there was lightning cracking everywhere, right? This is just like, this is ridiculous. Well, we came upon a family sleeping in a tent, or not sleeping, but camping. And they're caught out in this thunderstorm too. And they had looked and was like, oh, looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Well, they invite us into their tent. And it was like one of those flash water ones where there was water running by and filling up the tent. There was probably 2 inches of water in this tent. And it was hilarious. There's lightning and thunder. And we were old enough where it wasn't terrifying. It was just like, this is ridiculous. And now we're like, we went from boating out in a clear, warm day to hiding
in a tent
with strangers. And they're just like, yeah, this is camping. Anything can happen. But now a lot of those problems are solved with technology, right? You have jet boils, heaters. You can cook just as nice of meals. And when you're camping, they're, like you mentioned before, air mattresses, you can blow them up and sleep a lot more comfortably. The tent technology is amazing. The backpacks, if you're backpacking, are amazing. And there's dried food and mountain meals and all kinds of things.
Well, and you can read blogs and you know, referrals about where to go camping and what to take and what to expect. And I mean, there's still those flash storms that are going to happen and things you can't predict, but
you can nap, you get a warning on your phone a little bit earlier. You can watch them come in on the radar. And this, the only thing that's different, you know, that mentality that the author had with his wife, the only thing different is now there's such a better way to review places you're going to go.
Right.
Right. And you don't have to, you know, you can go on, check Airbnb, check hotel resort reviews and get some idea. Now the review racket is a whole nother subject that we could get into that gets a little ridiculous. let's not. I had enough. But in general, you can get a good feel for what you're going to do. The photography is so much better, right? I mean, back in 1910, I mean, they have pictures, but I mean, you might be able to look at like what a black and white postcard of what the place is that you're going to go to.
Yeah.
But, and then I love the comment of, we need to get far enough away so that something at work or something somewhere can't call us back. Like,
and that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how we ended up here from where we lived. It was 3 hours away, you know, before we moved up here. Yeah. We wanted our getaway to be at least 3 hours. So you couldn't easily say, oh, we can run back for that ball game.
Right.
Or I can run back for work for a day.
Yeah. You actually put it aside and put it off.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great point. There's like Wausau is this big city. It's a larger size city. It's a big city for us. There's a Target. And it's cool when people in Wausau have cabins up here because they just drive an hour north and they're in the Northwoods and then they drive an hour south. And Wausau is cool because you can, it's like 2.5 hours from Madison, 2.5 hours, you know, to 3 hours from Minneapolis.
It's a great location.
Down to Milwaukee. It's like the central location of it to the Northwoods and to the bigger cities is really nice. But that's a great point, is they're never truly away where people that drive 5 hours up from Chicago, they're away. Like they're not heading back.
Yeah, exactly. When you were talking about your experience in the rain too, it made me think of a story. We weren't camping, but some friends planned a boat trip on the Manitouish chain, a pontoon ride. And it looked like there was only going to storm in the afternoon. So a lot of the people didn't show up. Only three of us couples showed up. And sometimes you think, you know what? Things happen the way they're supposed to, because us three couples went out on a, you know, kind of like a Gilligan thing where it was beautiful when we set out. And then all of a sudden it started pouring, torrential pouring rain. And the only thing we could do was laugh hysterically for the rest of the time.
Right?
And we were drenched. So it was morning and we pulled up at this place. It was called White Oak Grill. And they were doing brunch and they let us come in and we were still laughing. And they brought us, you know, coffee and warmed us up. We were starting to get freezing and there's a pool there. So we had our suits on under our clothes because we were going to jump in the lake. So we ended up spending the in the rain. We were out swimming in their pools. They came out and lit the fireplaces.
No kidding.
It ended up being one of our favorite times on the lake.
Oh,
and it's
so
when
fun.
Everything kind of went wrong.
Yeah.
But because we all had a great attitude about it.
Yeah.
It ended up being really fun.
Yeah. And that is funny. That's about the Northwoods or probably any getaway place is, it's never as perfect as you picture it. You know, like, oh, remember last summer when everything was perfect? it never is, but that's what makes the memory. Like, things happen, stuff right. goes wrong. And as long as the crew you're with and the people that you're with, like, roll with the punches and don't let things get to them and make the things that go wrong part of the adventure. And
yes.
I mean, laughter and having a sense of humor about things is so important in life in general, but
right.
especially on vacations.
It can save your getaways. Vacation.
It can save it and it can make it right.
Right.
I mean, just the craziest stuff when you talk about getaways, right? We went for a spring break once and I was driving a car through Nashville in the middle of the night. And I was dating my wife now, dating her, and she was in shotgun, and I had two other friends in the back, and we're driving down, and all of a sudden this little, I don't know, it was like a little Toyota, but with the big fan on it and the loud pipes, comes flying by, going by maybe 150 miles an hour, pulls in front of me, slows down, and throws an entire pizza out of the window.
This is not where I thought your story was
so
going.
It throws an entire pizza out the window. So the pizza somehow flies up in the air. And I mean, I was probably going like 75 on the interstate. He's going fast, slows down, chucks a pizza out the window. And I probably cursed at the time. The pizza hit the windshield perfectly. It was in a box and the box flew off one way and the pizza perfectly hit our windshield.
That's like a movie.
So everyone wakes up to me swearing and they look up and it looks like, I mean, can you imagine like what blood. A pizza hitting the windshield yes. looks like? And yeah. I'm like, the windshields are going and everyone's like, oh my God, what? I didn't hear anything really hit, but it looks like I hit some sort of animal.
Yeah.
At speed. And just the stuff that, I mean, that's just an example. It's a silly story. And then the car just peeled off at the next exit. Like who
you're
raced
like,
a pizza?
Did that really happen?
Be there. Like, I didn't order pepperoni. And yeah. threw it. That's like a weird thing.
Yeah. I would not let pizza go to waste.
No. I almost pulled over to go back and pick it up off the road. But it was one of those things that I never forget from a getaway. It was ridiculous and goofy. And
probably every time you're with those friends, you still talk about it.
Yeah. They talk about like waking up to me swearing with like, it's a massacre on the windshield. And I'm like, it's okay. It was just pizza. And they're like, how did you hit a pizza in the middle of the night
oh
on the
my
interstate?
Gosh, that sounds like some kind of movie scene.
Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that happens and like the camping on the island, but that's what summer's all about. That's what,
yeah.
you know, getaways are all about is rolling with the punches, having fun
yep.
and being with
making memories
and friends. So, I mean, that's why it's so important to, pick the right people to hang out with.
That is because, so true.
I mean, there's nothing worse than somebody who makes things like a bad situation worse.
Yes.
Right.
Everything's drama or something. Yeah. You want people that just see the fun in everything.
Yeah. So a lot of fun there. Well, speaking of summer, I have one musical thing. The sporadic internet in the Northwoods is down a little bit, so I'd have a little more to say about this artist, but we'll put it in our show notes. And then a little more of a description on our Instagram page when we post this. I love this album cover. It's like a horizon with a candle burning at both ends.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So just a super cool album cover, and it's Grady Spencer and The Work. And the song is called Celebrate. It's from 2019. So I'm just going to play a blurb of that and then we'll share a little more about the artist in our Instagram post.
Singing songs, yelling words that I want to say. People, they've started listening. They're even gonna try to pay. We've only been out the weekend. Feels like it's been a year. I wish that I was standing there. I wish that you were standing here. But people ain't got it this good. So let's get down, give thanks. Baby, don't worry, let's celebrate. I said, baby, don't worry, let's celebrate. Cause time ain't getting shorter, don't make me wait. Drop the whole 30, let's eat some cake. Baby, don't worry, let's celebrate. Feels like it's been a decade since we got ourselves a good night's sleep.
Kind of fits our conversation in some ways. The hey, don't worry, let's celebrate. It's summertime. Let's have fun on this getaway.
Exactly. When he mentions cake,
pictured a pizza?
No. I picture, so again, I mentioned before, I just had a birthday and my wife went and got a cheesecake and then a little personal cheesecake because she called me. What kind of cheesecake do you want for your birthday? And I said, cherry. And she goes, they don't have cherry. So I'm like, they have like a caramel. She's like, no. She's like, you want raspberry? I'm like, perfect. Raspberry is good. And she mentioned a s'more cheesecake. And I think she was a little disappointed that I didn't pick s'more cheesecake. I figured I'd have enough s'mores this summer. Well, she brought a mini s'more cheesecake back. And the raspberry cheesecake for my birthday dinner. And my son Magnus is 2. He's about to turn 3 at the beginning of June here. And he's like into everything. Everything. He opens the fridges, he slides his stools around. He's like, I don't need you people anymore. I can take care of myself. Like, that's his mentality. And he's just a disaster with food still. And he keeps getting into our pantry to the point where we're gonna put a lock or one of those little hooks in the pantry, right. But we know he's gonna figure it out. So I think I have to like change the lock, like put like a lock on our pantry that you have to open with a key.
Yeah.
Because he just digs through it, dumps it out. I mean, there's food everywhere in my house that it shouldn't be. And like,
oh my gosh,
it's just, and he runs around and he doesn't like, you get upset at him and he thinks it's hilarious. So he just runs away going, ha ha. Right. And this pantry stuff. So we're trying to police that as much as possible. So if you hear the door open, you just instantly go, Magnus.
Right.
And he's like, you hear this pitter patter of feet running away. So the night's over. And actually this is 2 days before my birthday when she had got those. So I'm taking care of Magnus. I think my wife, she does dragon boat racing. So she was at practice. So she's gone. So it's really quiet in the house. And when it's eerie quiet, you know, as a parent, like that's a bad thing. If you can't hear anything with little kids, there's some sort of mischief going on. I walk upstairs and I look into his room and he's hiding under the blanket. And they like to play games where they're play hide and seek and they're terrible at hiding. So like, it's like, oh, hide and seek. I have a pillow over my head and you can see the rest of their body.
If they can't see you then.
Yeah. They can't see you. So I think he's playing hide and seek. So I say, you know, oh, Magnus, where'd Magnus go? Oh, play the whole game where you pretend like you're super dumb and don't know where your kids are. And I pull the cover off his head. He had taken the s'more cheesecake out of the fridge and was eating this thing, it's about the size of a softball, and just taking full bites out of it. His face is covered in chocolate and he is so happy. He's just hiding and eating this thing. And I snatch it away. He wasn't mad. He knew the gig was up and he just took off running. Ha! And
just took off
sprinting down the hallway.
I can't imagine eating that much cheesecake even.
Yeah. And he had just taken bites out of it like it was an apple. And he was so proud of himself for being like this cheesecake thief. So now we're just like constant alert. But I mean, you know, it's something to celebrate. He's like, oh, I mean, these people are going to leave this stuff around. Like, why wouldn't I?
He's one of those people that's finding fun everywhere he goes.
Oh yeah. He's like, why? I mean, if you're not going to serve me and give me the snacks and fun things, I'll just take care of it myself. That's like his mentality.
Don't leave out your cake.
No. So now I'm like, how do you lock a fridge? We're going to have to put like a padlock on our fridge doors to keep him out of there too.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious. The stories you're going to have for him when he grows up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Plenty for all the kids, but he's ridiculous and a lot of fun. So it should be a fun summer now that all the kids are getting old enough. They get along well, which is a blessing and looking forward to a fun summer.
Well, that song will be a great one to have around the campfire and, you know, just cruising on the pontoon. That's a great one. I really like that.
So again, that was Celebrate by Grady Spencer and The Work.
Okay.
So
yeah. So we'll put a link to that and we'll share more in the Instagram post, like you said.
Absolutely. So yeah. So a lot of fun. We got a ton, as we mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of fun guests lined up, a lot of fun things to do this summer and can't wait to share it with all our listeners and hear about all your fun stories. And if you have interesting things, feel free to reach out to us on socials. You probably most likely get it read on the air and
we share those songs you're loving and, articles you're finding, books you like, any of those things. Or if we talk about something and it makes you think of a story from your past, pass it on. We love to share and laugh about it too.
Yeah. And if you have any friends out there that you think would enjoy the podcast, please share with them too. It's kind of how people learn about us and grow. And word of mouth's been big and we appreciate everybody for loving what we do and we'll keep doing fun things.
And I still have friends and people I know that don't know how to listen to a podcast. Yeah. So I actually just showed a friend today she has an iPhone and to go in her app and find us. Cause she said, I want to listen to your podcast, but I don't even know what that means. So, when people share with their friends, you know, show them exactly how to load it up and find us easily.
So. Yeah. That, I mean, talk about a great gift. Teach somebody how to listen to podcasts that doesn't right. understand it or know it is such a wonderful gift, because that, I mean, there's so many great shows and it makes road trips so much less. I mean, you know, your kids said, oh, this is boring. Like, I'm not bored.
Yeah.
Anymore,
I look forward ever. To it. I could drive forever.
It would, yeah. Even doing chores, any of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, podcasts are key. So one of these shows we'll have to recommend, do kind of a recommendation show for other episodes and podcasts that, yeah, that we love
that would
too.
Be great.
So we'll have to put that together. So, yeah. So everybody enjoy your summer. Keep listening and we'll keep telling fun stories. And yeah. Thanks, Kristen.
Yeah. See you later, Eric.
Have a good night.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cabin Cast. You can find details and more information in the show notes on our website at www.thecabincast.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you won't miss a single episode. Follow us on your favorite social media channels. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Cabin Cast. We'd also love to hear from you. We want to hear your getaway and cabin stories. For a chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode, email us at getaway@thecabincast.com. Until next week, enjoy the journey.